clear the throat. Let's get ready for this.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Parky, we're in the world of music in the country. Remember a group by the name of Level 42?
I do, yeah.
Hot Water.
Hot Water, yeah.
I think there's going to be a few players in Hot Water after that showdown between Lee and Featherston at the Summer Bash.
Well, I think most of them will come from Blue and White Shirts of Featherston, because they just had it in them to try and rough Lee up from the start, in fairness, and then turn round and then say it weren't us.
Because you had Gareth Hawk on the field, that's why they were blaming Lee.
Well, it was as soon as... Did you watch any of the Sky coverage later on?
I didn't, know.
Because the Sky coverage, as soon as Gareth Hawk appears on the scene and goes on the field, the referees had a word with him.
His name's Mark before he's even got on there.
Before he's even got on there, you know, I'm thinking, right, okay, this fella's going to start conceding penalties now because the referee's looking out for him. And it's something that we wouldn't have caught from where we were in the stadium. You was over in the East Stand all on your own, and I was over in the West Stand with a lot of Liam Featherston fans.
I got absolutely sunburnt in that media stand.
Did you? What?
Oh, on big the red face. I had the face like a tomato by the end of the day.
Not on the second day, because it was
first day, because the first day was fine. Everybody else was sunning themselves. We were all in the shade.
Yeah.
But then the sun switched positions. It was directly in our faces.
That's right, yeah, because I think even I've ended up, with a little bit of sunburn.
Yeah, but that Lee and Featherston showdown, Woody getting sent off. I'm sure that's the first time Paul Wood's ever been sent off. Gareth Hawk getting his usual sin binning. Bob Bezic sent off.
Sin binned
as well.
Yeah, no, it was yellow cards for Lee and the red one for Featherston.
Mm. Plenty of fights.
Yeah, it was like a 70s throwback, really, wasn't it, in some respects? But if teams...
Literally, Lee and Brian Featherston bringing the bash to the Summer Bash, weren't they?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good analogy. You might hear that from somebody else in the next several minutes. But,
yeah, without a doubt.
But, yeah, I thought it was a weird weekend. I'm still not 100% on this hosting all the games in one venue.
Oh, I am. I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, but it's easy for you then, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's no driving.
Listen, it just whetted my appetite for the Magic weekend.
But exactly, is that what we want?
Yeah.
It should be an event on its own. Anyway, I digress.
It is another final hooter. We're on loverably.com and Radio General. And got plenty to talk about, haven't we? We've got the Chance Cup, we've got a round of Super League to talk about, and the Summer Bash, and the Magic Weekend to look forward to. Plenty of things happening within the next hour.
Don't forget Kingstone Press 1 either.
Yeah, forgot about that one as well. How can I forget you guys? And we'll also mention the iPro Cup final. Well done to North Wales.
Yeah. Winning the first silverware of this current season, and it couldn't have been done any better, to be honest.
Good match, actually.
It was a really good match. Deserved a far higher profile than it actually got. You know, it didn't even get televised, that one, when all the other games did. And, well played to North Wales Crusaders. I know they're a club that's close to your heart after your Challenge Cup exploits, aren't they, Adrian?
Yeah. One of the downsides of the Challenge Cup, by the way. Yeah.
Go on.
We were hoping to have gone to Catalans to follow our team, Featherston Rovers, who were holding the baton on our road to Wembley. But the budget, unfortunately, wouldn't stretch to a trip to France, so we ended up going to Dewsbury.
I just thought your Shara didn't turn up. I thought that was what it was.
I'm not laughing about the fact we went to Dewsbury, because, you know, the rolling hills of Yorkshire in the Tetley Stadium was wonderful, but I'd love to have been in the sunshine of the Pyrenees instead.
Well, I'd always planned to go to Dewsbury anyway, so it wasn't anything, you know. But so I was really surprised to see you when I turned up at the ground, and then suddenly you bounded round the corner. I thought, oh, he's either got lost or he's doing this game and then shooting off down to France.
I know the food you normally get in France is cheese and grapes, but fish and chips in Yorkshire, happy days.
Happy days indeed, yeah. And we saw a spirited effort, really, from Dewsbury. And it must be said, a very spirited effort from Featherston Rovers as well in defeat against the Catalans Dragons, where it took a try in the last couple of minutes just to put them out of the competition.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about that shortly. But before we waffle on about the Blackpool Bash, let's relive those moments, shall we? Parker, we're in Blackpool, the sun's out, and we've got Rugby League. What a weekend this is going to be for the Championships in the Summer Bash.
Oh, I do like to be beside the seaside.
Don't sing, it'll start raining.
Ah, you're all right. I've got my knotted hanky on top of my head. I'm ready for the action.
Plenty of action coming up. We've got the first ever iPro Cup final between North Wales and Swinton Lions. And then on Saturday, she's Workington going head-to-head with Whitehaven, London versus the Sheffield Eagles, and then a cracker to end the first day between Bradford and Halifax. And on day two, the action moves to Sunday, with Dewsbury and Batley kick it all off. Then we've got a game in the middle between Doncaster and Huntsford. Then the real cherry on the cake for the championships is Leeds Centurions going head to head with Feversham Rovers, and we're hoping that game will be a fitting finale to what's going to be a great weekend of rugby league here at the seaside.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the weather stays the same and that the action lives up to the weather, because at the moment it's absolutely stunning. You're right to pick out the first game, the iPro Sport Cup final. Both sides coming into this game scoring plenty of points, and when they met earlier this season it was 14-all, so I think we're in for a really tight encounter.
North Wales are defending their crown, because if you remember a couple of seasons ago they won the Northern Rail Bowl. Remember that one?
I do, yeah. They beat London Scholars in the final, didn't they?
Yeah.
And half of those London Scholars are now in the London Broncos team. So, you know, that's how things can evolve and the interest behind it. So, you know, there's some good players for both of these sides. I mean, particularly North Wales, they've got the likes of Ryan Duffy, who they signed from Lee last season. You know, he's been going well for them. There's Jono Smith, of course, our cannonball favourite. Scored 5 tries the other week. So, you know, he's a man who's in really good form at this minute. And then you look on the Swinton side, they've got the experience, the likes of Stuart Littler, who's done over 400 professional games now. You know, and I just get the feeling that this particular game, this is the one which means something. There's a cup at stake.
We've had the magic weekend with Super League. This is something Championship fans have been crying out for. Is it here to stay, the Summer Bash?
Very difficult to say, actually. We've already had James Laws come out, the Bradford Bulls coach, and say it's a waste of time, virtually.
Oh, he was mourning when it was the magic weekend as well, though.
I think he's got a point, though, because they keep saying this every minute matters, and they've chucked a rugby league extravaganza in the middle of it, which, you know, it makes it a bit false. At least, you know, you come into a league structure now, I think you should just go home and away. And if they were going to have a weekend like this, why not have it at the quarter-final stage of the Challenge Cup and have all 4 games played in one stadium over the course of a weekend? I think then it means something. It's heading towards bigger and better things. This is a bit too gimmicky for my liking.
I like it, actually, because it means you can have a weekend in Blackpool.
Well, there is that about it, you know. And as I've already touched upon, the weather that we've got, you know, we've come here, blue skies galore. Had it been played midweek, I'm not sure it would have been quite the same impact. But, I'm happy that the rugby league is trying these things. But for me, I don't know, it just doesn't sit right.
Looking at the games coming up in the Championship, which one stands out for you?
I'm going to go for Bradford against Halifax, actually, the last game on day one. I think that having seen Halifax a couple of times already this season, they are a dangerous side and you can't afford to take them lightly. Bradford Bulls, well, other than being beaten by Lee on the opening day of the season, they've strung together so many consecutive wins in the league now. And I think that they do have a lot of pace and a lot of power. They're not that far off Super League standard, I would hasten to add. And if you're judging the top end of the Championship, that's not far off Super League standard either.
Another standout game for everyone on Sunday is going to be Lee and Feversham, but the one I'm looking forward to this weekend is the Heavy Woolland Derby.
Yes, there's never anything given or taken in those fixtures, is there? You always, you know, basically it's local pride, isn't it? And trying to get one over your neighbour. And that is often how it works out between Dewsbury and Batley. Both of those sides will be a little bit disappointed with their current form. Certainly for the Bulldogs, they've not been quite as... or made the impact on the Championship that they have been hoping for. And obviously Sheffield defeated Dewsbury ahead of this particular game.
Yeah, for Batley Bulldogs, they're going to produce that performance they threw in against Widnes in the Challenge Cup.
Yes, but again, that's the thing, isn't it? It's about trying to find that consistency, which is always the difficult thing. It's the buzzword around rugby league at the moment, and very few sides have it.
It's a great weekend. It's going to be, the sun shines out, we're going to have a lolly ice now and enjoy the rugby league.
Yeah, I'm off for a cornetto.
And they're giving them away free as well, aren't they?
They are, yeah. That's where I'm heading. And for a ride on a donkey before we get started.
Parky, we started the Saturday here in Blackpool nice and white, but we've been in the sunshine, we've gone all pink.
Yeah, I'm as pink as the salmon they were serving in the fish pie, to be honest. But what a day we've seen. It all started off with North Wales Crusaders winning the iPro Cup. That was such a close encounter.
I felt sorry for Swinton.
I did, to be honest. I mean, there's a huge Lee connection there, isn't there? So I'm bound to feel a bit sorry for a lot of these guys that I've grown to know personally down the years. But ultimately, I felt that in Joe Burke, they had a lot of go forward through the middle. Ryan Duffy, you highlighted before the game, had an immense impact in that area. And Jamie Dalymore's kicking at the end of everything in the second half really did tip the scales. But I know the coaches spoke very highly about middle
winless, so you'll be pleased about that because he's a witness lad.
He's a proper witness lad, he's young Middle Earth, and Wales, Wrexham have done themselves proud. They've done Wales proud.
They've done rugby league proud as well, you know, which is just fantastic, you know. And the first bit of silverware goes the way of the North Wales Crusaders.
In the action, they're the pulsating Cumbrian derby and a no-show from Sheffield.
Yeah, it was a bit of an odd one really, wasn't it? Because if you look at the two games that we saw, the Cumbrian derby first of all that you've highlighted, Whitehaven got away to a rip-roaring start, didn't they? Led by Dion Ayer, who had such an influential play around the middle as halfback. They looked like they were set for a big score, didn't they, when they opened up, was it an 18-4 advantage? And then they got pegged back, and ultimately Workington with their dual contract players from Wigan tipped the scales against the dual contract players from Widnes.
So it was like Widnes 18 versus Wigan 18.
It was at one point, wasn't it? But no, I mean, in seriousness, you know, Workington do have some decent players. You know, Jared Stack was a mountain, to be honest, on his side of the field. And I certainly felt that, you know, he stood up and was counted. You mentioned there as well the Sheffield North Show. I think that game was done and dusted for London.
Are we just being disrespectful to London?
No, I don't think we're being disrespectful to London. Because, I mean, when you look at it, it's a turning of the scales, isn't it? Because, you know, at the start of the game, London were down in seventh place in the Kingston Press Championship. And then above that, you'd got Sheffield, who everyone was tipping them to do well. You look at the previous form between the sides, Sheffield beat them 40-6 in the earlier league game. But what a turnaround. I mean, it was over and done within the first 24 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, Super League coach is going about short turnarounds in terms of games, and Sheffield had to do that. They came into this game after a tough game against Dewsbury.
They did. It was a really tough encounter, that one, like you mentioned. I mean, it was 15-8, which I don't think really did Sheffield any favours, because Dewsbury, they're always a tough side to play against anyway, as I'm sure we'll see on day two of the Summer Bash. And yeah, to be fair, Sheffield added the bash, didn't they? Because they got bashed in this first day.
Andrew Henderson coming out of retirement, that was a surprise.
It was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it? Interesting to note that Tony Smith in the week was lambasting Lee for pinching his second hooker in the squad, and he's done exactly the same to London Broncos. So I don't know how that works, you know, but you didn't hear Andrew Henderson making a song and dance out of it. He just said, right, that's it, give me my boots, I'm coming out of retirement. And what an influence he had as well.
At the halfway stage of Halifax versus Bradford, and what a contest this has proven to be.
I'll tell you what, this has tipped the day off, hasn't it, to be honest. I mean, we've seen 35 minutes of pure grunt and adrenaline from Halifax. They've kicked intelligently, they've tackled really, really well, and then we've seen 5 minutes of pace and flair from Bradford, which has come up with two tries and sees them leading 12-0.
Before we wrap up our first day here in Blackpool, let's give you the performance of Saturday. It's got to be London Broncos, surely.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Oscar Thomas claiming a hat-trick there, also some really good individual performances from the likes of Thackeray and, you know, as well, Reece Williams doing a good job.
Try of Saturday for me, Reece Williams is excellent length of the picture.
Oh, I'm glad that, you know, we agreed on something, didn't we? I touched on Reece Williams' performance, you know, which I thought was particularly strong, and he's been in good form, to be honest, for London Broncos, and that just typified how dominant they were against Sheffield on the day.
The player of the day for us, despite Oscar Thomas getting a well-deserved hat-trick, by the way, it's got to be Andrew Henderson. 6 months after retirement, coming out and playing against Sheffield, he couldn't have scripted it.
No, that's true, and I mean, he did a really, really good job as a player for Sheffield, and on the coaching staff as well, let's not forget that. You know, he was heading up part of the youth development work, you know, so what a character he is, what a warrior. He's quit more times than Frank Sinatra and come back, hasn't he, you know? And they say you're a long time retired, but not if you're Andrew Henderson.
I mean, now, we like comedy moments in rugby league, but this one happened off the field, not on it. During that London Sheffield game, the water sprinklers went off in the right hand corner and soaked the unfortunate cameraman.
Yeah, there was a few people got soaked, I think, wasn't there? I think half the front row in the bottom stand also took a bit of a soaking. Yeah, it was as if nobody had switched those sprinklers off, and all of a sudden they just fired up, didn't they? The cameraman got the shock of his life, the ball boys got a shock of the life, and I think half the front row was still drying off now.
It's been a great day for day one. Day two, he's got a lot to live up to.
Bring it on.
Summer Bash is done and dusted for a year in the Championship, and it ended yesterday with a big win for Bradford. It ended today with a big win for Lee.
Yeah, I thought Lee were they had to keep the wits about them today, didn't they? Because Featherstone came out in this one with a bit of a plan, whether it was just to slow Lee down and just to try and niggle. I've seen it before and been shouted down by people who suggested that, you know, I was just being biased and Lee were an overly aggressive team. But for me, I thought Featherstone brought too much aggression to their game, and if they'd stuck to the plan that they started the game with, where Blackmore went over after just a couple of minutes, I think they could even have nicked it, to be honest.
Yeah, certainly Lee and Featherstone put the bash into the Summer Bash, didn't they?
It was certainly a bruising and bashful encounter, wasn't it? You know, you could tell that both of those sides have been playing in the big games in the Championship for the last couple of seasons, really, couldn't you? Because there was a lot at stake, and you got the feeling it was a real Lancashire versus Yorkshire feel to it. And, you know, neither side took any rubbish, did they? And they just got it sorted.
The main rivals to Lee's plans, the Bradford boys, how do you feel they went in their game?
I thought Bradford were particularly disciplined. I thought that they performed okay. They defended really well because Halifax chucked a lot at them in the last game of the opening day. Even being honest, though, I thought that they might have developed their game a little bit more. They still seem like they're a little bit vulnerable to on the break, so I would be interested to see faster teams going up against Bradford Bolts, because I still feel there might be something there that teams can work on.
Day two kicked off with a heavy Woolen derby, and it was Dewsbury who got the better of Batley Bulldogs.
It's always a close game, that one, isn't it? Not a classic, but, you know, to be honest, you don't need a classic every single week, do you? Sometimes it's just about, you know, doing the hard yards and coming out with the win, which is exactly what happened in that one.
And then for Doncaster, the search for a win continues.
Yeah, I felt a little bit sorry for Doncaster because it looks like they've got Tony Miller back involved. He was sitting in the coaching dugout here. We all know what's happened with Paul Cook, and how you can go from hero to zero in the space of 6 months or less in his case. And I just think it's they're not that far away from a win, but they're far enough away from a win. And I'll leave it at that, really. They've got some good individual players. They need to mould them into a team.
I thought Hunslet were excellent today, though.
Hunslet scored some really good tries, actually. Yeah, I thought Danny Ansell controlled things a lot from half-back. And Jimmy Watson is a very, very brave full-back and certainly took his try well, too.
Speaking of tries, scored the try of the day for me. It's got to be Brad Day's effort for Batley. 40-metre dash to the try line.
Yeah, and it was amazing because he outpaced Alex Brown, who's a former Super League winger as well, who had no idea that he'd gone down the other end of the field. He was that quick. So, you know, well done to Brad Day, a very shrewd signing, another shrewd signing, shall we say, for John Keir.
Got to say, the performance of the day has got to be Lee maintaining that 26-match unbeaten run.
I would agree with you. Yeah, I think certainly Featherstone came with a plan in mind. They tried to bash Lee up. Lee roared with the punches and came back with a counter attack, which took them clear and keeps them clear at the top.
Player of the day, it's got to be Greg McAnally for his hat trick, hasn't it?
I agree. It's maybe close between him and Martin Ridyard. He's the brains of the Lee organisation, but certainly Greg McAnally. He's had his first year of fairly quiet games over the last couple of weeks, but certainly fired out of the blocks in this one. Three tries and set a try up as well. You can't go better than that.
Comedy moment came between the Batley and Dewsbury game. That was when the referee Gareth Few was tackled by the Batley defence as they were defending a Dewsbury attack on their own line.
Does this mean somebody's going to get a ban? Because didn't that happen and somebody got a ban a couple of years ago? But
yeah,
very, very odd, you know. And it just shows again how much work referees do with their positioning on the field. And sometimes when it doesn't quite work out, it can look very foolish, can't it?
Just over 15,000 were here for the weekend. Can we deem it a success?
I think the Rugby League will deem it a success. I'm still sticking by my original thing. As much as I've enjoyed the weekend, and it's been nice coming out to a different location and seeing all the teams play at one venue, still too gimmicky for me. There's not enough riding on it. For me, the iPro Sports Cup was brilliant. You know, the final, it deserved far higher prestige than what it got. The rest of it, it's just 2 points for everybody else, isn't it? So I feel that if they are going to repeat this, they need it to be a cup final or something. I don't particularly like this sort of fixtures.
It's been a great weekend, and we'll leave the final word to the coaches who are in the winning enclosure.
We had a few processes that we wanted to achieve in that first half, and we never nailed any of them. I thought we were soft defensively. I thought we gave them too much space and too much respect with the ball. We didn't put them under pressure, so just said that we needed to tweak that a little bit, and we just needed to to have an even share of the ball and to play a lot of footy down their end. You know, we played into the sun in the first half, and it's an energy sapper, and they put a lot into their first half effort. And I think it was still 23 minutes to go, and they only had one sub left, so they were trying to keep it fresh all the while. And I knew they were going to run out of energy, so you know, that's what I said to the players after. I said, just stick in there. I said, put the ball on the field down their end. I said, and really work them out of their half, make them work to come out of their half. I said, because they'll come up with errors just like we did. And that's the way it panned out.
We were good defensively, but we had to. We were terrible with ball. We thought we were terrible. And a couple of times we weren't terrible with ball, we created and scored tries. And we used to see more of that and less of the defence. But, you know, outstanding effort from us. Just dropping balls clean is nothing to do with Halifax. I thought they were defending. I thought they defended as good as what we did for a lot of the game. I thought they were they had played with a lot of energy. But we were poor with the ball under no pressure. That's down to ourselves more than anything. We had some good players there. I thought Adam O'Brien was fantastic, I have to say. Defensively, I thought it was very, very good. Gaskin did a decent job, but I thought his kicking game was poor today. It's not in the second half and we needed that. So, looking at Adam O'Brien, I thought it was very, very good. The game, I thought, was a good physical game. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching the game. Like I said, both sides were pretty decent defensively, but I thought we were poor with Rob.
To win any game, and especially local derby, is good. The manner we did it in wasn't the best. I thought we were pretty poor, to be honest, but third game in a week, it was always going to take its toll. You see how Sheffield yesterday, how it affected them. But the boys showed some good character to be able to win and win ugly, so we know there's a lot of improvement in us, but we'll take 2 points, that we needed to get. It was pretty even contest. I thought we were in control, but we had the players that stood up at the right times. We were able to get some completed sets at the right times of 40-20. Just some heads, level heads when was needed. Wasn't too often. As I say, I don't think our completion rate was that good at all. But we've won again. We've got another 2 points, putting ourselves up there and keeping ourselves up in that top six.
When a team loses their coach, generally the players have a big response the week after. So we knew we'd have that to get over as well as a hurdle. And I thought Doncaster threw everything at us today. They certainly ran a lot harder with the ball than I've seen in recent weeks, and they were a real challenge for us. A little bit of a tough, old-fashioned type of game there today, wasn't it? Where you needed to work hard for field position, and when you gain field position, you had to try and do your best to keep it. And we did that at times. I thought we let Doncaster in the game at times. We gave too many penalties away that second half, but I thought overall we defended our goal line really well. I thought we were sloppy for 10 minutes before half time. I thought we let Doncaster in the game a little bit. We probably could have been a little bit more comfortable at half time, certainly in terms of the nature of how the game was going. Doncaster got some momentum there at the back end of the first half, and we had to nullify that. We had to start well at the start of the second half, and I thought the game was a real ding-dong battle there in terms of field position, and I think we defended our goal line pretty well, that that kept Doncaster out when they had some opportunities there on us.
It was a good game, and Featherstone obviously publicised how much they were looking forward to the game, and we thought it was a good time to get us, and it's been said over recent weeks we've been cracking, but there's some good products out now for cracks, and we keep sealing them, so we're alright, we're doing well. We had a real blistering 20 minute spell where we pulled up some points out the bag. Thought we had to work really hard. We was against some tough 50-50s right from the off, where Liam Kerr got dragged into touch. Some baffling decisions at times, but yeah, so we had to work hard. Couldn't get any momentum. I think the speed of the game was real slow, and the ruck wasn't controlled at all, and that showed in the fact that neither of us had made a large amount of subs in that first half. I think we'd made three, then four, or numbers near enough that. So but yeah, so we worked hard for a short spell, then I reckon we put the cue on the rack and did what we needed to do, just to bring it home, and then get out and just catch a bit more daylight while it's still sunny in Blackpool, and we wanted to enjoy ourselves. So I'm really pleased. I'm not even disappointed with that scrappy 30 minutes, because we showed again that we know how to win a game. We know when to step it up, and the teams will continue to rough us up, and then probably say it's us roughing them up at the end of it. But it's a mystery to me, some of that. But yeah, they were they employed some interesting tactics today, Featherston.
They certainly did. And I'll tell you one thing, how many cornetters did you eat during the weekend?
I just had the two. I'm not quite sure how many you had or how many other journalists had.
Maybe that's what we should have done, a cornetto count.
Yeah, I mean, they were good. They were free, though, so anything's bound to be good when it's free, isn't it? But, yeah, what a weekend it was for the championship.
Brilliant weekend.
Good weekend.
Do it again.
Not sure about doing it again.
Yeah.
As you heard me say on there, a bit gimmicky. Not quite sure if I like it, but, you know.
Listen, just because you don't like it, I do, so we're doing it again.
The Rugby League will probably do it again, and they'll back you, to be honest. Because, I mean, 8,500 people going on the Saturday, 7,000 or thereabouts going on the Sunday, and, yeah, they'll probably be looking at the coffers and thinking, hang on, we actually made a little bit of money from that, so, yeah. But to go through the results from the Kingstone Press Championship, a big summer bash, it was Workington 26, Whitehaven 20, London Broncos 46, Sheffield Eagles 6, Bradford Bulls 18, Halifax 4, and then on the Sunday, Dewsbury Rams 19, Batley Bulldogs 12, Doncaster 12, Hunslet Hawks 25, and finally Lee Centurions 31, Featherstone Rovers 12.
We heard from Glenn Morrison in the winner's enclosure as the Dewsbury coach. He's not ruling out Wakefield just yet. Do you think he's going to take it?
I think he's
tempted.
He might be tempted.
Is he mad?
I think
it's a good challenge.
I think he would be mad, to be honest, because at the moment I would rate that Dewsbury side ahead of Featherstone.
And he's got a safe job there at Dewsbury, whereas Wakefield...
Wakefield, he might only get 6 months.
Exactly.
Yeah, he might only get until the end of the eights, and then next thing you know, he's out on his ear, really. But, you know, I think that he's one of the best coaches around in the Championship, to be honest. He's done wonders with very limited resources over at Dewsbury, and certainly he's got a big squad that he's been able to put together, and he's got him playing some good stuff. Okay, he commented there about it not being a classic, but not every game has to be a classic, does it?
I know he wants to challenge himself at a higher level, even putting the New Zealand job.
Yeah, he did, you're right. Yeah.
But I don't think Wakefield is the right vehicle to challenge yourself in the Super League.
No, he's probably realised that the cast job isn't going to come up for a bit, though, with Darryl Powell, you know, being okay. And because for me, if there's a club which shows potential in Super League, it would be Castleford Tigers, actually. But if you're looking for a club that's on the up, then he's best sticking where he is for the time being.
Right, just in case you've tallied up how many coaches were in that winners' enclosure, there was only five. There was six matches. But yeah, we felt this guy needed a spotlight on himself.
Go on, who was it?
Andrew Henderson, of course.
Of course.
Retired, didn't he?
Yep.
Then he decided to come back playing against Sheffield of all clubs, so he couldn't have scripted that any better.
Tell you what, I don't think he could have written that script any better, could he, to be fair? But yeah, what a game he had.
Let's hear from him. Andrew Henderson, 6 months ago when you retired, did you think you would be coming back to play against Sheffield of all clubs?
No, I didn't. Didn't even plan on playing. You know, I'd enjoyed my career. I was ready to go into coaching. Was grateful for the opportunity at London as an assistant coach. And then, obviously, the opportunity to become head coach came very quickly. And I stepped into that. And I'm absolutely loving the coaching role. And that's where I see my future and where I want to develop and become a successful coach. But I just felt that the opportunity... had to take the opportunity today to play, because I just felt we've been very inconsistent as a squad, and I think everybody knows that, you know, we probably didn't get our recruitment right at the start of the year. We've lost a number of players that have left the club, a number of senior players are currently injured, and we have got a lot of young kids, mate, a lot of young London kids, and bless them, they're trying hard, but, you know, we still need a bit more quality in our cattle to get us across the line, and, you know, and that's probably reflected in some of our inconsistencies within our levels of performance, but I just felt we're really lacking some leadership, mate, today, out there the last few weeks, and I just thought I needed to be out there to direct the side around.
You mentioned the quality that's come in, it's shown out today, didn't it?
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, that is a reflection of the way we trained the last 2 weeks. We had our best 2 weeks of training since I took over as head coach, you know, and I'm challenging the players each week in terms of their standards and their level of intensity and commitment at training and attitude at training, and I think it's been a little bit hard at times, you know, because we haven't had those numbers at training, so there's not been that competition for places and stuff like that. So like I said, I readdressed it to the players again. I said we can't change what's happened in the first part of the season, but with our actions we can change what happens in the second half, and we've trained with a real intensity and a purpose and an attitude this last 2 weeks, and our focus was nothing but getting a result today, and I'm just so proud that the guys got what they deserved.
Looking at the performance, was that the perfect start today?
Oh, absolutely, because you've got a better start. Yeah. To go, you know, three scores up, I think it was, wasn't it, in the first 15 minutes. And no, it was a great start to the game. And, I thought if this was any time to get Sheffield, it would have been this week. You know, they played Dewsbury Tuesday, they played, I think, on Friday night the week before. So they've had three games in the last sort of, you know, 9 days or something like that. So if it was ever a time to get them, it was today. And just really pleased that we did get that result.
Obviously, now the Broncos, if we look at this performance and use it as a platform to kick on.
Mate, that's exactly right. You know, we have to use this as a platform now, and that's the challenge now for the players is, you know, like I said earlier in the interview, that we've lacked consistency throughout the year. So our challenge now is to back it up with a consistent performance next week against Bradford at home.
Great performance, and good to see you back.
Thanks, mate. I've enjoyed it. It's great.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Interestingly, by the way, while I was interviewing Andrew Henderson, I could hear the Bradford fans still singing, even though they sang all the way through the second half.
To be fair, I think I couldn't get that song that they were singing out of my head. It was worse than the Kylie Minogue one from years ago.
I mean, bearing in mind they were singing it before the game started, and they were doing it all the way through the match, and they never stopped.
No. Nope.
Fair play to them. The Huntsford fans tried it as well, but they kind of like stopped after 32 minutes of training to change the track.
They gave a really good account of themselves, though, didn't they, the Huntsford fans, and obviously enjoyed being with Huntsford away, because that was the, or seemed to be, what they were singing, didn't it?
It was, yeah. It was. I was trying to work out what they were singing. It was either "We're Huntsford away" or "Huntsford we are," something like that.
Maybe we should ask Huntsford fans to get in touch with us for the next show.
Do you think we should?
What do you reckon? I think so. I'm going to ask him on Twitter. I'll get it asked on Twitter.
I mean, I was absolutely shattered watching the Bradford fans. I was out of breath. It just sat there.
I was glad to get out of the stadium at the end of it, to be honest, because as I say, it was going round my head. It was worse than that Kylie Minogue song from the early 2000s. But yeah, what a day that was, and what a noisy ending it was from the Bradford Bulls too.
Now, we mentioned the summer bash started with the iPro Cup final. North Wales winning the game. Cracking game of rugby.
It was really close. I mean, Swinton Lions, they dominated the opening 20 minutes of the game, ended up scoring a try through Sean Robinson. Chris Atkin kicked a couple of goals, but North Wales Crusaders, they hit back before the interval with Scott Turner sailing 40 metres to score. And then second half, it was the Jamie Dalymore show. He crossed for a deserved try, Tommy Johnson kicked three goals, and North Wales Crusaders won 14-8.
Let's hear from the winners and losers of that game, shall we?
Well, just can't believe it, really. Obviously, you know, pleased with the result, and firstly, I just want to pay credit to Swinton. I thought, like, you know, they were fantastic in the first half. Swinton put us under a lot of pressure, and in the second half, obviously, we sort of like turned the screw a little bit and got over the whitewash and started to complete our set. So once we started to complete our sets, I had full confidence that we'd get something out of the game. We was at a completion rate of about 63%, and Swinton running at 76%. So the message was, stop giving penalties away, stop knocking on, start completing our set, stop the penalities, and it'll look after itself. And that's what it was. Jamie Dalymore's really coming to the front now as a halfback. He's showing some maturity. He's taking a grip of the game. But one player in particular who was absolutely outstanding was Gary Midlust. He was an absolute engine in the middle. I spoke to Gary before the game. I said, Gary, if you take, we win. And that's what happened. You know, the boys have worked hard. We set a goal at the beginning of the season to reach Blackpool. And obviously the second goal was to win it. And we've done that, which is really pleasing. And, you know, what a great day for playing rugby, and what a great advertisement for the Championship one. I think you'll find there's two teams will be pushing the top end of the table. So it's good to see that there's life in the Championship one. There's some good players and some good teams.
Well, John, commiserations. Your thoughts on that game, first of all?
I mean, obviously we spilt a lot of good ball opportunities in the first half, and back end of games when it's warm like this as well, it catches up on you. We spoke about being a bit smarter at half time and giving penalties away when we're right on the line and turn the ball over really well, and then just not, you know, giving that penalty away. And just right down the field, they've got great kickers there. I thought their half-backs and their middleist absolutely killed it today. Thought they'd be the difference, their half-backs and middleist. I thought he was absolutely outstanding, middleist, up that middle there. But, you know, I've just said to the boys in there now, it's an experience early in the season. You've got to learn from this experience for the back end of the year. So, you know, we've got to take away from this game everything. Know how you feel, you know, and take it to the back end of the season, learn from it, and hopefully be there at the end of the year.
I suppose as well, the start of the game, you got to wait to a good start, didn't you, John?
We did, yeah, but we knew we had to do that against a very, very well drilled North Wales team, so really happy with the way things started. But obviously, just getting into the on their line, and then penalty, and then same again, and we just can't have that many opportunities and just catches your runner, you know, and that's what happened. And well done to those guys, they just stuck to their process all the way through the game and they came up winners.
Tell you what, you're cruel.
That was odd.
You're
cruel.
You took him out there for an interview and you had made him endure the Crusaders winning song. Hey, talk about rubbing his nose in it.
That wasn't me. That was the Crusaders. In fact, if you'd seen how close those dressing rooms were together, there was hardly any room to get anybody away.
No. If I was John Duffy, I'd have walked away from you.
That is. He won't do that.
I'd have said, end the interview, I'm going.
Hey, to be fair though, he stuck it out, didn't he? You know, I mean, that was
about play.
I mean, that you can't buy moments like that, because I couldn't believe it, because I'd asked him the question and then suddenly all this noise started coming from the North Wales dressing room. I'm thinking, oh, here they go, they're celebrating.
Now, while North Wales are enjoying themselves in Blackpool winning the iPro Cup final against Swinton, the South Wales counterparts were having a terrible day out in York.
Yeah, they did. Well, it weren't actually in York. This one was played over at Featherstone because of York's continual problems, which we touched upon in one of our previous shows. Yes. But yes, they ended up conceding a 70-0 defeat. Greg Minikin scoring a hat-trick there and Ben Dent also getting involved with kicking 9 goals. And that leads us very nicely into the previous round of the Kingstone Press League One, which saw wins for Barrow, Oldham, Swinton against Keighley in what was a real emotional affair. And then there was also wins for Rochdale Hornets. They hammered Oxford 76-16. North Wales warmed up for that one with John O'Smith scoring 5 tries, like we mentioned before, against Hemel Stags in a 74-14 win. And the Gloucestershire All Golds won 66-6 against Coventry Burrs.
Just thinking about Keighley, by the way, during the Brath and Halifax game, it was great to see all the fans clapping. There's only one Danny Jones.
It was. But even more important, they were doing
plenty of bucket collections around.
I was going to say, that was what I was saying. Yeah, they did a bucket collection both days. So let's hope that there was plenty more money which was raised for the Danny Jones Fund, and it couldn't go to a more deserved fund.
Now, over the weekend, the one person everybody wanted to speak to was Mickey Higham. It's first game since swapping Warrington for Leeds Centurions, and I was one of the lucky people to pin him down and get his thoughts about his first hit out for Leeds and how he felt about the big bash. Mickey Higham, 15 years away. What did it mean to you to be back out there wearing the red and white at Leeds?
Yeah, fabulous. You know, like I said before, as soon as I heard the interest was there, you know, my heart was set on the move back. And, you know, I always said I want to finish here. And if this opportunity hadn't come across, you know, I'd have really regretted it. So when it come, you know, I'm really glad it's come off in Warrington, you know, allowed me to go, and I can't be thankful of them enough. But no, it's 15 years between games, like you said. It was I was a bit nervous out there today, a bit edgy on the bench, dry mouth and heavy legs, but luckily, you know, it was no different when I got on the field, because it was a tough old game as well. So no, it's just good to get out there with the boys and get a feel for how they play and stuff, because they're a team that like to throw the ball about, as you see.
It was a proper game of rugby league out there, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. Big forwards running at you, physical knees in, elbows and everything. You know, it's a bit of a change, but you know, got to get used to it. Looking forward to next week.
And obviously, now you're settled within the club as well now.
Yeah. Only had 3 days training prior to this game, so probably a little bit underdone in, you know, in calls and names and, you know, how the moves and stuff are. So wow. And yeah, so it's still getting used to the players and stuff, but you know, really, it's 2 points on the board and enjoyed it.
And you certainly enjoy scoring the try as well.
Yeah, it's in front of the home, but you know, front of the Leigh faithful home fans, you know, pretty special to get over, but not more important to get the win. But it was nice to sneak over. I won't deny it, because I don't get over very often, so I'll take that one.
I suppose today's game gives you a bit of an insight what to expect in the Championship.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think you probably expect it like we did at Warrington. You know, Leigh are the team that people want to come to now and turn them over, especially, you know, they're winning every week. You know, it's a big scalp for these teams, and so, you know, like when I was at Warrington, you know, people want to come and turn Warrington over. So no, every game's going to be a tough game. Certainly today was a tough one, big physical battle, and you know, got to get used to that.
You've had plenty of experience with the Magic Weekend. How did you find the summer bash?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, a little bit different, you know, probably not as big as crowds, but I thought Leigh were, you know, really loud, and when Feth had a few chances, you know, they were loud as well. So no, it was buzzing, you know, nice big atmosphere again. You know, get used to the big games and the big atmosphere, because that's the games that, you know, Leigh are striving to play in. So no, really enjoyed it, and it's always good to start your career off in a fresh career, you know, a win on the board, so onwards and upwards.
Tell you one thing.
Go on.
It wasn't just the media who wanted to speak to Mickey Hyman in the tunnel, it was even random women walking past.
It was amazing, wasn't it? You know, it's everybody wanted
Everyone wanted a word.
Everybody wanted a bit of Mickey Hyman. Why not? Why not? It's great to see a hometown lad come home and play for his hometown team once more.
Over the same weekend as the Summer Bash, Super League had reached round 15. It started on the Thursday. Big win for Huddersfield against Castleford Tigers. They defeated Castleford 24-16. On Friday, Warrington were too strong for the Red Devils, winning 34-18. So had more misery onto the shoulders of not just Marwan Kukash, but Yestin Harris as well. On the same night, Leeds Rhinos defeated Hull Kingston Rovers 36-16. Hull FC lost out to St Helens 17-10. Catalan Dragons, a big win for them against Wigan Warriors, really poor, piling the pressure on Sean Wayne now, aren't they, with that win against the Warriors. And on Sunday, it took 15 rounds and so many away games. Not sure how many away games Widnes have played, but they finally got their first away win of the season on grass.
Well, let's start with the Widnes one, because Dennis Bett said it was a game to forget, to be honest.
He actually lambasted the pitch.
He did. And I'm not sure whether that was, you know, called for. I mean, I was there the week before when there was the Challenge Cup game, and it didn't seem that bad, to be honest, that pitch, in fairness. And to be honest, it shouldn't be with the what's been happening on that pitch all the way through the season, to be fair. But although Wakefield gave as good as what they got, Widnes were far too strong in the end, and that was a win, minus Kevin Brown, wasn't it?
Yeah, Stephen Marsh getting a hat-trick for Widnes Vikings. So a much-needed win for Widnes Vikings, and it pushes them into eighth place. I mean, that just shows you how tight the division is.
It does, yeah, but I mean, word about Catalan's Dragons, I mean, wow. Where the heck did that result
come
from?
No one knows where that, I don't think they know where it comes from. In fact, Sean Wayne's on a plane coming back wondering where did that come from.
That was an absolutely amazing result. You know, Zeb Taylor also getting involved in try scoring and, you know, being a real good go-to player for the Catalans this season.
Mentioned hat-tricks for Widnes, was also a hat-trick for Gene Ornsby for Warrington, and his last effort was sensational.
It was, yeah, the way that he dived in at the corner. In fact, he sort of went up, leapt like a salmon, and dove like an Olympic medalist, you know. So, great, great finish, and not a bad game, actually, and I'm sure that Marwan Kukash was very pleased with the attendance of over 6,000.
While we're on about hat-trick heroes, Tony Gijo, is that right?
Gijo, yeah, for Catalans.
Yeah,
again.
And Zeb Taylor,
we were mentioned just before. But yeah, again, Gijo's had his first year of, what's the word?
Ups
and downs, yes, because he's back at the Catalans after, you know, a couple of years away. Nice to see him back, and hopefully he can regain that form that saw him as one of the top young players coming through in French rugby.
I wonder what's going to happen with Wigan after that. How much confidence is that going to sap away from them?
Well, I don't know, to be honest. And it's a bit of a tough one, really, isn't it? But, I mean, fair play to St Helens, because they managed to get themselves up to beat Hull FC. And what can we say about Leeds Rhinos? Kevin Sinfield comes back into the side and they tick.
They do tick, and I'm wondering whether they're probably thinking, you know what, should we have let him go?
Listen, I think his time's probably passing, but let's enjoy it while we've still got him in our game, because he's been one heck of a player in rugby league.
It certainly is the Stephen Gerrard moment for Leeds Rhinos, isn't it?
It is, really. And you're kind of wondering what they're going to do, because they've got to replace not one great, but two when Jamie Peacock retires at the end.
Wow, that's going to be a big hole to fill as well, isn't it?
Half filled already with them signing Anthony Mullally from Huddersfield Giants from next season. But Widnes must be kicking themselves for letting him go as a 21-year-old.
He wanted to go.
This is what we get told. I'm not too sure, you know, he's a Widnes lad, why would he want to leave him, you know, but hey, these things happen, don't they, and Anthony Mullally will probably come back to haunt Widnes over the next coming years, won't he?
Now, the week before Super League round 15, the Challenge Cup had reached round 6, and the Super League club, the Big 8 from last year, started the road to Wembley. Now, our team, Feversham Rovers, took on Catalan Dragons, and what a match they put up against the Dragons, going down 37-34.
It was a superb effort, wasn't it? You know, they must have played some good free-flowing rugby, which unfortunately we didn't get to see at the Summer Bash, because they scored some great tries. I actually saw the highlights of this one. Luke Teasdale was very good going over for two. Remy Marginet, playing against his fellow countrymen, also stood out in the halfbacks for Featherstone Rovers, and they had some good performances, particularly Ryan Verlinden after he went on, but ultimately the Catalans Dragons, despite being reduced to 12 men after seeing a man sent off, they had a little bit too much in the tank. Michael Oldfield, one of several try scorers, and nice to see the big fella Julien Bosquet getting over for a try as well.
We mentioned at the start of the final that our budget wouldn't stretch to a trip to France, so we went to Dewsbury instead, and we were hoping the Rams might have caused a bit of an upset in the Challenge Cup for Warrington, but Glenn Morrison had bigger fish to fry with the game against Sheffield a couple of days later, so he rested a couple of his big guns and they went down to Warrington 52-10, but it was a spirited effort from the Rams despite all the big name absentees.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I think Joel Farrell covered himself in glory, didn't he, and to be honest looked the part when he went on from the substitutes bench in the Blackpool Bash as well, to be fair, but you know, looks like a really good player. But Warrington, very professional job, they put the points on quickly when they had to, didn't they, and Ben Curry's playing some great stuff at the moment, came up with two tries.
Certainly did. Other winners, we saw a spirited effort from Batley as well. They pushed Widnes all the way and very nearly caused the ultimate cup upset.
Yes, John Keir seems to just get these performances from his teams no matter what in the cup, doesn't he, and you know, very very good performance, an efficient one from Batley, but ultimately Widnes showing the extra know-how just to sneak out and win that one. And then of course we saw Leeds Rhinos return to form, blast back to form by hammering Huddersfield Giants 48-16. A couple of tries there for Callum Watkins, a couple of tries there for Ryan Hall, and again we mentioned him before, Sinfield the man on form.
Yeah, big results at Wigan as well. Hawkinson Rovers reversing in style that Super League thrashing by defeating Wigan at Lee 16-12.
Yeah, I don't think that Sean Wayne likes coming to Lee this season. That's now two games that he's played at the Lee Sports Village this year, including a friendly early doors, and yeah, Wigan's lost them both. But it was really a turn up for the books, that one, wasn't it? Because we're talking about a side which got shallocked 60 points to nil the last time they came up against Wigan, which was only 3 weeks ago. So what's happened in those 3 weeks for them to turn that round? Very very good effort, to be honest, from all Kingston Rovers. Maurice Blair and Ken Seo the try scorers there, which edged Wigan out.
A big win for St Helens against York Forest 6-6. Hull FC were too strong for Casford as well. That was a surprising scoreline of 40 points to 40, and the big scoreline on the Sunday saw Lee coming up with a Super League double. They saw off Salford in round 5, they seen off the challenger Wakefield in round 6, which cost James Webster his job.
It did, but if it can start first of all with St Helens, how often is it when you see you know, 9 tries scored and 7 of them come from wingers? Adam Swift going over for a hat-trick, Tommy Makinson going over for 4. York were very spirited, but ultimately were only rewarded with a try in the last minute. Big mention for Hull FC, like you've said, they really did run the ringers through Castleford Tigers. Hat-trick there for Curtis Norton, 2 tries there for Jordan Rankin, Mark Sneed back in the forefront and doing well against his former team. And yes, this Lee juggernaut just seems to get better and better, doesn't it? But they actually were 22 points to nil down in that one against Wakefield. Wakefield looked like they were flying with early tries from Chris Riley, 2 from Joe Arundel, and you know, there was one from Nick Scruton as well to put them 22-0 up. But Lee, they hauled the way back in. They scored a try before half time through Ryan Briley, and then there was just 5 second half tries from Pownall, Beswick, Armstrong, Hopkins and Wilkes. Martin Ridyard kicking the goals, and in response Wakefield could only come up with a try from John Malloy, Craig Hall kicking his 5th goal. But yeah, that was a good win for Lee.
Yeah, rewards for Lee Centurions is an away visit to Warrington. Can they make a hat-trick of Super League clubs in the quarter-finals? We'll be interested to see how that one pans out. Other quarter-finals see Hawkinson Rovers take on Catalans Dragons, Hull FC versus Leeds Rhinos, and Widnes have a tough-looking away tie to St Helens. Now, let's give you the TV scheduling. The Hawkinson Rovers game against the Dragons will be on Sky Sports on the Thursday, June the 25th. On the Friday, the 26th, see Hull FC against Leeds. Sunday, the BBC One game is Warrington versus Lee on the Saturday, sorry, not Sunday. And on Sunday, the 28th, it ends with Widnes Vikings against St Helens. I said it twice.
So good you named Widnes twice, hey? But yeah, just to touch on that, isn't it great to get all 4 quarterfinals played over 4 days and all on television as well?
They did it last year, didn't they? But the Widnes game was on the Monday.
Yeah, it was a bit odd, wasn't it, that, where it was like in the last minute, wasn't it, really? And it didn't really, you know, pan out as it perhaps should have done. It's much better to have it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, in my eyes.
Yeah, without a doubt. The magic of the cup's still alive with Lee Centurions.
Definitely, yes. It's good to see. And I also think as well that, you know, we're in for some cracking rugby at the Magic Weekend.
We are. The Summer Bash really whetted my appetite. I know you're not a fan of the concept, but the Magic Weekend, 40,000 tickets sold already for Saturday. Might be even more on Sunday. Could have a record attendance, aggregate attendance for the Magic Weekend in Newcastle.
It's an impressive amount of tickets to be sold, to be honest. I think it's been helped with Widnes and their smart use of a almost Newcastle United-esque sort of kit, you know. So well done to the Widnes Club. Well done to Super League for taking it up there. They've sold 40,000 tickets, and let's hope that it's a great weekend.
Without a doubt, and there'll be plenty of action to talk about, and hopefully there won't be any coaches losing the jobs before our next final hooter.
Fingers crossed, yeah, because I've got a bet on, and I'm hoping that I can, you know, bring it home.
Now, here's the thing, in Blackpool for the Summer Bash, they had a Cornetto's giveaway. I wonder what they're going to give away in Newcastle. Nuki Brown,
Nuki Brown, yeah, I reckon, Nuki Brown.